it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two balls, two strikes to Bryce Harper. Suarez delivers. Swing and a drive. Left field. It's deep. It's going.
Yes!
And it is gone.
Yes! Yes.
It is bedlam at the bank as Bryce Harper has put the Phillies on top.
Are you kidding me?
His 10th career home run in the postseason. And he may never hit a bigger one.
Welcome back. Broadcasting from Stateside Live for 94 WIP's Red October Rally. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, the voice there, Scott Fransky with us. Bedlam at the bank a few years ago. What is it like, Scott, as we welcome in our next guest, Devin Caney, who's joining us. But Scott, what is it like to be in the building when it's that loud? Is that, do you feel it calling the game? Do you feel the noise?
Yeah, we do. That day, it felt like the place was shaking. I mean, it really did. And we've been in some older ballparks that feel that way. I remember there was a game at Wrigley, and the press box in Wrigley, you're not quite hanging from the roof, but it kind of feels that way sometimes. And
Those old buildings,
I know. They make me feel like I'm back in the minor leagues sometimes. But I'm like, am I at Wrigley or am I in Cedar Rapids, Iowa? But I think it was Jason Hayward hit a walk-off grand slam in a game there. And the place was literally shaking. That's what it felt like.
Is that off of Adam Morgan?
What a memory. Yeah. It was off Adam Morgan.
Those old nights when I was on after you guys. I went through a lot of those bad bullpen nights.
Yeah, it was Adam Morgan. Yeah.
That sounds kind of scary, though, Scott. That don't sound exhilarating if the building's shaking.
No, I don't like it.
That's part of the atmosphere.
I was thinking about that because when we did the football game last year for Thanksgiving. When John and
Turkey Bowl.
Turkey Bowl, yeah.
Dog, that building was shaking, and I left. I'm like, no, I ain't, no.
You're scared.
No, hell yeah. Scott, listen, I know you know that the rain and certain, like, structural damage. No, I don't play around with that stuff.
We remember the rain, the great midday flood of 2025.
That's right.
All right, let's welcome in Devin Caney, who joins us here as she is set for Red October. Devin, how you doing?
We are officially in, like, Red October, Eagles football, you know, craziness.
We are in the throes.
We are, yes. It has begun, and I love it. I live for it. I'm a little stressed out, but I'm okay with it. I feel good about this series.
I'm curious. Why are you stressed out, though, Dev?
Oh, we're all stressed out.
I am not stressed out.
This is a team of destiny.
I'm not stressed. I feel very good about the Phillies, actually. Mm-hmm. I think their sense of, like, cool confidence is kind of like, oh, like, I can sense that from the team. They don't feel like they know that they can beat any opponent that they have to face. So I'm okay with that. I just meant my own personal schedule.
Yeah, no, I got you. Yeah,
you guys are better than me. I feel like I'm going to throw up until the series
this
is
over.
I feel that way, and I don't feel that way.
This is what you live for, though, man. I mean, like, to be – like, I compare this almost to the three NFC championship games that I was in. You know, you lose the first two, and now you're looking at it, okay, now you feel like you have it figured out. Now, the morning of, you have, like, butterflies, but this is the first phase. And you've – I mean, when you talk about the way that this team has been playing, they look totally different than they've done any other time that I've been here. And they have hitting throughout the lineup. I think that's the most important thing.
So that's an interesting comp, Hugh, that this group to your group, right?
Yes.
The Eagles teams 2001 to 2004. Did you feel going into that postseason like this might be our last shot? Because that with this group,
the last one definitely.
There's a sense, and look, they could keep all these guys. I'm not saying next year they won't be really good, but you factor in their age, the free agents to be, Wheeler's injury. This might be the last great shot they have. Did you guys feel that? Did you talk about it going into the 04 playoffs?
You started talking about it. Like this is how the conversation shifts. Like, the first time you're going to be like, hey, man, we got something good here that we could do this for a couple more years. And then when those years start to pile up, then you're like, damn, we need to break through. You know, because if we don't, this might be the last run that we have. And I feel like that's probably how they're feeling. When we talk about Bryce Harper, Bryce Harper's been for what, six seasons? Something like that?
Seven now.
Seven seasons. Yeah. And you talk about what it was when he got here and how excited everybody was. And on top of that, the Nationals won when he left. So now as Bryce gets older and his body starts, he's starting to show wear and tear. I mean, he's still a phenomenal player, no question about that, but he's starting to show wear and tear. At some point as a professional athlete, when you've made the type of money that Bryce has made and you've gotten all the accolades that he's gotten, that's the one that's eluding you. That's the one that you want the most, you know. So that's probably where he is right now. A couple other guys on the team have won, but as a collective, as a group, they haven't won. So that's what you start to think about. It might not be said directly, but as you get older and your body starts to feel a little different, you start to think about that stuff.
Well,
really,
and
do.
I'm glad you bring up the fact that the Nationals won after Bryce Harper left, because, like, immediately after he left, I feel like that's a narrative we don't really talk about a lot. And I'm not saying that that's all that drives him. You know, we know Bryce Harper is motivated on his own, and he loves playing for Philly. And I know that a lot of the players, if not all of them, want to bring a championship for the fans who show up every single night to watch a play when they're here. But I just feel like that has to eat at him.
It does.
And, like, it's not something you're going to ever admit out loud, but, like,
you know what, Dev? And I can say this because me and I, we commit – well, we don't do it as much as we did a few years ago. But – After every Super Bowl, after the one that we played in, for like 5 or 6 years, it was always like, damn, we were 3 points away. Like, we used to talk about how different life would have been. You know what I mean? Life is good. Now, don't get me wrong. It's great. But winning a championship hits different. Mm. You know what I mean? And being a part of a championship team. Now, I you know, when you talk about playing in the Super Bowl and being an older gentleman and all those years behind me, that was a great accomplishment when you look at it. Didn't win it all, but when you talk about the history of the NFL, ain't a whole lot of cats been to a Super Bowl. That's a fact. But when you talk about being in a position to win one and don't win it, that hits a little different. That hits a lot different, I should say.
Yeah, I think for Bryce, I would have think he'd agree with me. I think his career is incomplete without a World Series. He's a great player. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. But he needs to win a World Series. I mean, he's been one of the faces of baseball for all these years. He's hit in October, so I don't think it's his fault his teams haven't won. But, like, sometimes there are players that they just don't never get there, right? They're on bad teams. Mike Trout, right? He just barely ever made the playoffs. Bryce has been in the playoffs. I mean, Scott, he's been in the playoffs a lot. Obviously, here now 4 years in a row. But those Nationals teams, they were in a few times. So it's probably 7 or 8 playoff trips now. I mean, I got to feel like, I think Topper said the other day on WIP that Bryce is uniquely motivated, as motivated as anyone has ever been around to win. I'm sure he's feeling that as the years go on.
I don't think you can't. I just feel like he you don't get to the level he's at, and you don't compete on a day in and day out basis at that sort of level without having the desire to win it all, and for that to be the ultimate goal. And it's always been the ultimate goal for him. And like you said, it's not all on him. In years past, he's hit well in October for the Phillies, and that hasn't always, you know, meant, obviously hasn't meant getting to the finish line. So I do think he wants to get there. I think he's not alone in that. I think even guys who are younger, you know, I don't know, throw Alec Bohm or Brandon Marsh out there, right? They haven't been to the playoffs as many times, but this is their fourth crack at it with this same group, this same basic group. And they're probably tired of coming up short.
I'm sure they are.
And again, this is it stinks in a way that this is the first matchup, you know, to have to come out cold. You haven't played in a week, and to have to face this team, because I do think, as I said before, this is the best team they're going to play. And the winner of this could very well end up winning the World Series. Maybe they get just so beat up trying to get through this series, it takes so much out of them. Who knows? But I do think Bryce really wants that to complete the resume.
Devin, do you expect Bryce to have a big October? Because his regular season was pretty good, right? Good, pretty good.
Yeah.
By his standard, not as great as normal. I think he's going to have a huge October. This is what he does. I mean, we brought this up the other day, and Hugh was kind of lowering the bar for Bryce. I call him Lower the Bar Douglas when he doesn't want to.
See, we play semantics around
here. No,
we play semantics. So tell him how you framed the question, Joe, because he likes to twist words a little
bit. Well, I said, do the Phillies need October Bryce to win the World
Series?
And
I said no.
Yeah, because you don't think he's going to be October Bryce.
No, I don't think he needs to be that, right, because we have other contributing members on this team that have stepped up, so he doesn't have to carry the weight.
Well, so that's a good point. Hopefully he doesn't need to. Like, hopefully Bryce Harper doesn't need to carry the team. Do I expect him to have big moments in October? Yes, absolutely. He hit a home run already October 1st in the intra-squad scrimmage.
See, he knows what
month
it is.
He hit the first home run of October. So I think if that's a sign of things to come for Bryce Harper, it's a very good sign. But I do agree with Hugh in that, like, it's not all on him because we have other guys stepping up.
Let me ask both of you guys this question while Scott's sitting here. What do you think? I want to see what you think, and then I'm going to tell you what I think. What do you think in the postseason?
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Has been the Achilles heel for the Phillies.
The bat's
hero ball. Like, to me, it's been kind of hero ball. It's been kind of like, because when I think about that Mets series, I think about how the Mets were like to Joe, like, this is a trigger word for Joe when I said about Bryce moving runners. They were playing small ball.
I was trying to come up with the point Hugh made, like, in the middle of the season. It was moving the base runners.
Are y'all gonna let me finish my beautiful
you
thought
turned,
that I'm having?
You turned him into Placido Polanco.
See how this goes, Scott? I don't get to talk baseball a lot, but when I make some poignant points, they don't let me talk.
They don't
dog.
Let you cook.
They don't let me cook, dog. Y'all gonna let me cook. But my point is this.
Go away.
It felt to me like a lot of times, especially in that Mets series, that everybody that came up was trying to win the game and that they're at bat. And the point that I was making was it doesn't have to be that type of game because you got other guys behind you that if you put them in position to be successful, then the team as a collective can be successful. Well, I dropped some science on that before.
Like what we talked about earlier, I think head to toe, they have a lot of players that are more confident, feeling better, hitting better at the plate right now than they were a year ago.
Yes.
And that allows you to, you know, again, I do think it's going to take everybody. I think the biggest problem for the Phillies over the last few years has been their bullpen over the last 2 years. I mean, I get it. They had some big offensive explosions on different nights, but it was in those close games that they couldn't hold, and there are going to be close games. You are facing the best pitching that you are going to see all season, right? Whether it's this round, the next round, the round after that. That's the nature of playoff baseball. You're going to face the best pitchers that are out there. And you have to be able to have those games where you win 3-2, or you win 4-1, or you win 3-1, because there will be some of those along the way. And when those happen, it is incumbent on the bullpen. If you have a late lead, you got to hold it. You got to hold it.
Well, they have to. And Devin, I think their bullpen in some ways is set up to be better at that because they have Duran. They have the closer we haven't had here in a very long time.
Yeah.
But in other ways, there's questions. I mean, I have questions about what's going to happen before Duran, right? I like the Robertson signing, but he's not the same pitcher he was 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Kirkering's been better the last few weeks, but not great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. We were talking about this on the morning show. You know, who do you trust more, the bats or the bullpen? And so many people said the bullpen.
No, I trust the bats more.
Yeah, 100% the bats. The bullpen has been easily the Phillies', you know, shakiest area of the team throughout the season. I mean, even look back to last season. Yeah, the postseason, the bats went cold. But the bullpen also, you know, gave a grand slam. And I know, like, he's bounced back and he's not on the Phillies anymore and what have you, but even guys like Jeff Hoffman, who had been so consistent, like they kind of fell apart. We're not even looking at a falling apart situation here. I just haven't seen enough from anyone in the Phillies bullpen, really outside of Duran, and he's even given up some stuff to make me feel like, oh, okay, great, you know, Orion Kirkering's going in, we got this. Instead, it's going to be like, oh man, you know, Matt Strom's going in, let's cross our fingers and hope it goes well. So I mean, I don't know the solution, but I guess just keep your fingers crossed in the bullpen. Yes.
And hope the guys that have performed in the past perform. Like Strom. Yeah. I mean, Strom's had a lot of success against Ohtani, so I think we're going to see a lot of that. The other thing that is interesting to me about this series is we have something we haven't had in the last 4 years, which is a big name on the bench that could be deployed late. It's been a weird season, Scott, for Nick Castellanos. But there's not many teams that have 250 home runs sitting on the bench in a game. Right. And look, all those years ago, it was Matt Stairs hit a big home run against the Dodgers in a pinch-hitting role. If Topper starts Kepler in these games against the Dodgers righties, at some point, that's going to be Castellanos' moment, right? The Dodgers have a lot of lefties in their bullpen. Vesia, he's hit before. I feel like Castellanos could play a big role in this series. I don't know if he's going to come through, but I could see a moment where it's the seventh inning, Kepler's due up, and here comes Nick Castellanos pinch hitting. Like, he could change the whole story on his season with one hit.
Absolutely. And I think there's probably a big hit or two in that bat still, and he will be given opportunities. I believe that because I think there are going to be enough spots where somebody, either Brandon or Kepler, has to face a really tough left-hander coming out of the bullpen, somebody like Vesia or whatever, that you're going to prefer to go to the right-handed bat. And I don't know that Nick's going to go off the way he did, say, against the Braves and that NLDS. But
Joel almost got beat up in that series.
But
yeah,
weren't you there to protect him?
I was, but it was fun, Scott. It was.
It was
fun.
Just too fun. Well,
he was laughing until he had to step in, and he kind of yelled at the guy, and then the guy
Scott,
walked away.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
So Hugh and I went down. In 2023, when the Phillies played the Braves in the first round, we went there for games one and two.
Yes.
And the Phillies won game one, and I was chirping a little bit to Braves fans. Okay. And then I wasn't quite thinking how many of them there were in versus one of me.
Oh.
So a few of them started to, like, walk over, and I felt like I was in a little trouble. And then Hugh was, like, 10 feet behind me, and then he spoke up, and the guys walked away.
I think you're
Hugh was your bodyguard?
Yeah.
I think you got a 1-0 lead. You got Hugh on your wing. I think you're
I knew I was okay.
A little bit.
It was hilarious. Yeah. Because,
that's amazing.
Because that was, like our first year. Was it our first year?
Doing the show,
Yeah. And I didn't know Joe was an instigator.
Well, to be fair, I had a little liquid courage. You know,
well,
it was nine innings of baseball.
Red October does that to you. I remember standing down, like, on the concourse. It was the first game that the Mets were here last postseason. And they didn't have a ton of fans there, but there were still too many Mets fans for my liking. And one lady was just, like, chirping like crazy. And I had my credential and I was working, so I had to, like, contain myself.
Yeah.
But Ike Reese was next to me too, and I could tell we were both just like, don't say anything. It's hard.
It is
so
hard.
I don't blame you, especially if you have some liquid courage.
You was about to throw hands there.
They
I don't see you as a hand thrower.
Maybe not hand thrower. Maybe throw more hands. Like word thrower.
You're a word thrower.
Especially to the Mets fans. Yeah. Got to teach them a lesson. They're annoying. They're always annoying.
Okay, we could be back to being professionals. Okay, we're back.
It's a good story. We don't bring it up enough when I almost got beat up in Atlanta until Hugh Douglas stepped in. All right.
That is really funny.
Yeah, I had a second where I was like, oh, this might go bad.
No, I wasn't going to let them put hands on
But to
them.
Be fair, Hugh, there were like 30,000 of them and two of us.
Oh, yeah, but you know, but here's been my – you knock one person out, then everybody else don't want it. They don't want that smoke. You just like the gorilla fight.
Yeah.
Remember when I told you when the gorilla, he rips off one person's arms. The other 99 people don't want their arms ripped off.
Are
so they
talking
think about
100 men versus one gorilla again?
Yes.
I thought you were back to being professionals.
Kyle's got his eye on you.
I was.
All right,
Devin. Friday.
Topper's going to talk at 1:15 today.
Yes,
we're going to air that live.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's going to be asked a lot of things. Lineup, roster. Mm-hmm. But one thing I'm curious of, because when he was on the morning show a couple days ago, he seemed to allude to the idea that Aaron Nola could get a start in this series. And I had kind of put that out of my mind. I thought, okay, LCS, World Series, right? You need four starters. Okay, I'll live with that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he'd get a start in the series. I'm starting to think he's going to. What do you think about that? Because I just keep coming back to, seems like we're overthinking it. We have three better starters than him. We only need three starters.
Yeah.
I wouldn't start him against the Dodgers. What do you think about it?
I mean, I didn't think until I heard Rob Thompson's comments that Aaron Nola would get a start, at least in this series. I mean, I know his last start in the regular season was the best that we've seen him, but that's still not enough for me to go off confidence-wise. I heard Scott talking to you guys before I came on saying, you know, if they do put him in, I think they'd be extremely cautious with him. You just hope that if he does get a start and he doesn't have his best stuff, they don't take him out. Like, they don't leave him in too long.
Right.
And then it's, you know, who do you put in when you take him out? Because what, it does it become a full bullpen game? Is it Walker Buehler? Is it, I don't know. I don't know what the solution there is. So I want to say just go with Sanchez, Ranger, Lizardo, see if you can win the first three. But then do you really want Aaron Nola in like a game four, game five spot, right? So I don't really like any of it. You know how I said I would have my fingers crossed when certain guys from the bullpen go into the game? I think that's how I would be the entire game that Aaron Nola is pitching. But hopefully he, if he does get a start, he can, you know, have the same stuff we saw last time he had an outing.
Yeah, I could just like sense next week it's going to be a big conversation on this radio station if Aaron Nola is about to pitch a game two or a game three. I mean, Hugh, you've been supportive of the idea of it. It feels risky to me for a guy who had as uneven of a regular season as he did.
Yeah, but you know, when I think Topper said it, like, you know, you believe in the guy what's on the back of his baseball card or something like that. So you give him a shot. But like I said, you can't have those innings where, you know, it's a little rocky for him and you know, you let him work his way out of it. He has to come out there and he has to be on point from the beginning. Yeah. And if he's not, then you have to make that decision quickly.
Well, and Scott, this is a question for you. If he does get it, if Aaron Nola does get a start in the NLDS, what game would he get the start in, do you think?
I think he would get it in game two.
Okay. I'd be more okay with that than a
And the reason
four.
I say that
Can
is...
Can we be up 1-0 for that game?
Right. Yeah.
Well,
as long
I think
as we
the
win
reason,
tomorrow.
I do think the reason they would do it there is because I don't think it's necessarily a situation where they say, we're going to start Aaron and we're going to let him go seven innings and we're expecting him to go seven. I do think it would be more of a situation where you start him, Dodgers throw their lineup out there for a right-handed pitcher, and then you see Lizardo at some point mid-game, and then he goes a ways. And that would be his start day, and then again, he could then then you could come back in game five and he could start or Nola could start or you could run something similar either way. But I think if they were going to do it, it would be game two. Now, again, it's all speculation.
Yep.
I doubt that we're going to hear from Rob today what his plan is for game two.
Do you think if they – I was kidding, but do you think if they win game one, it affects the plan? Or if they lose game one? Or do you think the plan is the plan? Because
I think the plan is the plan.
Okay.
I do. I think they probably have the plan being the idea that they're up 1-0 or down 0-1 – is already factored in.
Right.
They've already discussed that.
They baked it in.
Well,
yeah,
that's on Wednesday before the scrimmage. Rob said he knows what the rotation will be. And that was before they even knew they were facing the Dodgers. He just said he wasn't going to tell us yet.
So. Okay. Yeah, and I imagine he won't tell us today either, because why let the Dodgers know? All right, before we let you guys go, Topper's going to speak at 1:15. Ben Davis is going to join us coming up in the next hour. Need an X factor from each of you. Like, let the Phillies win this series. Who's the guy we're talking about? He's a big reason why. And you could give a big name, you can give a role player, whatever you want, but an X factor. Earlier in the show, Hugh mentioned Alec Bohm, who's going to probably hit cleanup. I think Matt Strom could play a big role because he feels like the Ohtani guy for late in the game. Scott, who are you thinking? An X factor.
I love those two picks, both of them, because I think you're right on that Strom's going to be asked to do that more than once. maybe five times, quite frankly, at some point during each game. I think they're going to need help offensively from people 4 through 9. And I'll say somebody like Brandon Marsh, who's going to hit in the middle of the order, who's going to face right-handed pitching, who's going to face his old teammate, Shohei Ohtani.
That's right.
Maybe he'll be a little jazzed up to do something big in that regard. But, I'll go with Brandon.
Devin, who are you thinking?
I'm going to go with Trey Turner. We haven't seen him play in a game in a bit because he was on the 10-day with that hamstring strain, and I know a lot of people are worried. You know, he's not going to be ready to go. He looked good to me in the scrimmage, and what we've seen from the last few guys who have come back from a small injury, like Sosa, like Bohm, they come back and immediately have a pretty big game offensively. So I'm hoping that Trey Turner can come in and not miss a beat leading off.
So he joined us about like 11:30 early in the show. Go back in the Odyssey app and listen. One thing that I took note of, and I get it, but he said he hasn't gone 100% yet.
Mm.
And look, he hasn't had to, right? He played a few innings on Sunday. It was a scrimmage on Wednesday. I just, for my sake as a fan, I need to see him get an infield hit in the first inning tomorrow night. Like, just show me you can run. And I think maybe it'll be out of his head. Look, he said he feels good. Devin, I think it's a huge one because he's been great this season. He won the batting title.
Yeah.
Like they need that version of Trey Turner. hopefully they get it. Scott, we appreciate you being here for the hour. And enjoy this. I know you say you don't take it for granted. We love listening, and we'll be listening tomorrow night.
All right, sounds good.
Devin,
thank you
for being here. And I'll see you tomorrow. We're doing a show together, right, tomorrow?
Yes, 2 to 4.
2 to 4.
You, me, and Rube get to hang out.
It's going to be fun tomorrow afternoon at the ballpark. All right, coming up on the other side, your calls, Ben Davis, and we will bring you Rob Thompson's press conference. We are live, stateside live. Come on out with us. It is the Red October Rally. You can park in Lot S and walk over. Stateside Live, formerly Xfinity Live. Come on out. It is a Red October Rally on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, everybody. Hatfield just dropped two new bacon flavors that you just got to try. First up, that's Scott Looks. We got cracked pepper thick-cut bacon, black pepper coated in a full bold taste. Then there's the one that I forgot yesterday. It's the Black Forest thick-cut bacon. Mmm, sounds tasty. Smoked to perfection with a touch of sweetness. Whether you're firing it up for breakfast or stacking it on a BLT, these bacons bring big flavor. Bacon is serious business around these parts, and nobody does it better than Hatfield. Visit simply Hatfield.com for a retail location near you. Hatfield, better care, better pork.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.